Before we begin to endeavor to study from God's holy word, I'd like to ask that we join our hearts together in prayer. Lord willing, tonight we're going to be looking at 2 Chronicles. I encourage you to follow in the Bibles as we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Please get a Bible, either your own Bible or one of those on the pews there, and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We'd like to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 26. We'll probably just read the first five verses there and then begin looking at a portion of the Word of God. Before we begin to read and study God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our eyes unto the hills from whence cometh our help, knowing that our help comes from the Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, we know that we are weak and frail creatures, and we know that without Thee that we can do nothing. But we also know that with Thee we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. We ask You to strengthen us this night and help us and uphold us, and that You would bless us with an outpouring of Your Holy Spirit. We know that Thy Word teaches that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We have liberty to sing. We have liberty to preach. We have liberty to talk. We have great liberty to do all things that are right and good when we can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank You for the testimony of Brother Brooks tonight of having great liberty in singing this day. And thank You for all of us that have had liberty. Thank You for the worship service we had here this morning. And thank You for the study of Your Word and Bible study. And just thank You, Lord, for the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus and for the joy and the fellowship that we have with Thee. We thank You also for the love and the fellowship that we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank You for this body of Thy people. Thank You, Lord, for every member and every friend of the church. Thank You, Lord, for those who are here with us tonight. I pray that You would bless all of their lives. You know the needs of every person, those that are present and those that are not able to be here. And we pray that Thou, as the great physician who has all power, that You would bless those who stand in special need. Though we have many that have been mentioned audibly and in the bulletin, there are others that stand in great need, unspoken prayer requests. We ask You, Lord, to help and bless in all of those situations. And we pray that You would help us to know the things that we can do to help those that stand in great need. Bless the families who are having trouble. Bind them back together with Thy love. We pray that You would bless those who have lost loved ones. Comfort their hearts. Give them a special measure of Thy grace. Especially we pray that You would bless the Steedley family and the loss of their 13-year-old daughter. We pray that You would uphold them and bless them. That You would bless all the others that are sick and afflicted. Those with chronic pain and problems, we pray that You would touch and heal and lift them up. Give them the strength and grace that they need to face all the problems in life. Again, now help us this night. And Lord, we pray that You would bless all the elderly. We thank You for all those that are here this morning from the nursing home. We pray that You would continue to bless them. Thank You for those who are here tonight. We thank You, Lord, for the ones that go and pick up those that are not able to come and drive themselves. We thank You for their faithfulness in doing things to help others come to the house of God. Bless us now in this hour. Help us to be able to feel that it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Teach us and instruct us in such a way that Thy word would be as seed sown in fertile ground, that it would bring forth fruit to perfection in all of our lives. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we do ask You to bless Sister Gladys as she's in the air right now. Watch over and protect her and give her a safe trip. Bless all the others that have been mentioned. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I'd like to read now from 2 Chronicles chapter 26, beginning with the first verse, reading the first five verses. The Word of God says, "Then all the people of Judah took Uzziah," and that's who we're going to be studying about tonight, Uzziah. The past few days, as I've been thinking about Uzziah and reading and studying about Uzziah, for some reason, do any of you ever get names mixed up in the Bible? Or just other people's names? Sometimes I get in my mind that somebody's name is one thing when I first meet them, and I almost never can get that wiped out and get the correct name. But as I've been thinking about Uzziah, I keep wanting, my mind keeps calling him Asa. So if I were to start talking tonight about Asa, just transpose that to Uzziah, because the man
that we're going to, Lord willing, be studying about is not Asa, but Uzziah. We may mention Asa, but it's Uzziah that we're going to be speaking about. So all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after that the king slept with his fathers. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. Listen carefully to verse 4. The wonderful thing that God would say this about a man. Verse 4 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." How would you like for God to put that on your epitaph? For God to just write that on your tombstone? "He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord." It's a wonderful thing that God would declare that about a man. That's what God says about Uzziah, at least at this point. That's what he said. I want you to remember that, because I believe in all of our lives as children of God that there are times that we're doing that's right in the sight of the Lord. And I want you to think about that as Uzziah did that was right in the sight of the Lord. As long as Uzziah was doing that was right in the sight of the Lord, God blessed Uzziah.
Yeah.
And Uzziah was a happy man. He was a man that prospered. He was a man that was a wonderful king as long as he did that, it was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse 4 says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God." And listen carefully now, this is the main thought that's on my heart. "And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper." As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I'm not going to take the time to read the rest of this chapter to you, but I encourage you to go home and read and study about all the different things that Uzziah did that honored God. And also, I want you to see that as Uzziah sought the Lord, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. It did not matter, as you go through the rest of this chapter, it did not matter if he started planting vineyards, those vineyards prospered. If he went out to fight against the Philistines, guess who won the battle? Judah won the battle. Uzziah and Judah won the battle. It didn't matter what they were doing. It didn't matter what Uzziah was leading Judah to do. Whatever they did, their armies prospered, their vineyards prospered, everything prospered as long as Uzziah, who was the king of Judah, as long as that king was doing that was right in the sight of the Lord, as long as he was seeking after the Lord, God blessed Judah. And I want you to tell, I want to just mention that that ought to mean a lot to us about choosing a president. Did you know that?
Yeah.
We need a man of God that will do like Uzziah did early in his life. We need a man of God that will rule our nation, and a man of God that is so close to God. And we've had these kind of men as presidents in days gone by. Men that did not listen to the whims of men or what people wanted, but people who feared God and loved God and did that was right in the sight of the Lord. Men of great principle. Men that would not bend or budge from what is right. We need that kind of a man as president of the United States. You may say, "Well, there's nobody on the ticket." Well, we've got one or two people, I think, if I was going to choose one, I know who I would choose right now. But I'm telling you, God could raise up somebody that would just come forth and be a great man of God and a great leader. Or he could take one of these that are already running and he could lift them up and cause them to change and really be a great man of God. I'm telling you, we need, in the United States of America, we need a king, like we need a president like Uzziah was king of Judah. A man that will do that's right in the sight of the Lord. And as long as the king or leader leads the people in the right way and the people follow that way, something will always happen. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, that's true of a king, it's true of a president, it's true of a nation, it's true of a church, and it's true of your life and your family, that as long as you seek the Lord, God will make you to prosper. Now, you can take that and run off in a ditch on one side and begin preaching a prosperity doctrine that says, and a lot of people are teaching this today, that if you follow God and you serve God, then you're going to be rich. And they take the word prosperity in a carnal way, in a materialistic way, to say that you're going to be a millionaire if you seek the Lord. Well, that's not what people who are wanting to be millionaires, that's not what they're really seeking. They're not seeking the Lord. What are they doing? They're pretending to seek the Lord in order to get that they're really seeking, which is money. Listen, brethren, those that are really seeking God with all of their heart, money is not their primary goal. Money is not their primary love. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. But people that are really seeking the Lord are people that are going to be rejoicing in the things that God will prosper them in. People that seek the Lord are going to be a happy people. Did you know that? There are people that seek the Lord that are poor. There are people that seek the Lord that, as far as the things of this world are concerned, they have virtually nothing, but they're prospering, they're happy, they're rejoicing, they're close to God and God's close to them, and they're filled with that feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that is prosperity.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how little or how much you have, if you don't feel the presence of God, then you're not prospering. But if you do feel the presence of God, you are prospering. Uzziah was a man that prospered. And I hesitate to mention this about him, but I want to mention it because I want you to know that not only as long as a man seeks the Lord will God bless him to prosper, but I want you to know that no matter how long a man does seek the Lord, no matter how long a child of God does follow God, that in the day that he turns his back on God and stops seeking the Lord, in that day, God will bring his judgments on that man. God will stop prospering him. God will stop blessing him. You and I, as the people of God, sometimes the devil will tell the people of God, you know, follow God, and we follow God, and we seek God, and we serve God, and we're happy serving God. But you know what? The devil will eventually come along and tell you when you've been serving God for a long time, the devil will come along and say, listen, you need a little vacation from serving God. You need a little time off. You need to go out and sow some wild oats. Telling you, brethren, it doesn't matter how long you've served God, in the day that you depart from serving God and seeking God, in the day that you leave the Lord, in that day God will stop prospering your life.
That's right.
So we need to pray that God will help us to never take all the good that we've done. You may not ever have that kind of feeling, but I'm telling you, brethren, there are a lot of God's children that have served God a long time. I've watched preachers that served God a long time and were faithful in so many ways. And then after a long time of serving God, they began to do things that were very ungodly, and they ruined everything they'd ever done in their lives, and God stopped prospering their lives. You don't build up bonus points. You don't build up brownie points to where you can go out and serve the devil a little while. You can't go out and do it one day without experiencing the judgments of God.
That's right.
So the scripture says here, as long as Uzziah sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. I do want you, in spite of mentioning all the good things about Uzziah, I want you to come down in your Bibles to verse 16 because I want you to see the rest of the story about Uzziah. Verse 16 in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 16, the Word of God says, but when he was strong, you hear what's being said right here? But when he was strong, what happens in our prosperity sometimes? What happens when we're strong? Okay, pride. Stop seeking God.
Nebuchadnezzar.
Okay, think about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, when he was king of Babylon, he began to be lifted up just exactly. It's a direct parallel. Uzziah and Nebuchadnezzar, their lives follow an exact parallel. that both of them served God, feared God, loved God. They sought the Lord. They both were lifted up. But when they were strong, they forgot God and turned their backs on God. And God brought them down to nothing because they forgot the Lord. Do you think America at one time as a nation, do you think we loved God and feared God and served God? Do you think it is by chance? Do you think we were pretending that we loved God and trusted God when our forefathers stamped on all of our money, "In God we trust"? How do you think all that came about? Was it just to get votes? Or was it because we had men that feared God and loved God and knew? The Word of God says we're not to trust in uncertain riches. Therefore, with all our money, it says, in God we trust. That is, we don't trust in the money. Our trust as a nation is in God. Aren't we far away from that today as a nation? Aren't we far? Why are we? Because when we get strong, isn't it hard to remain humble? Isn't it hard to keep serving God when you're strong? In the way that Uzziah was strong. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of the incense. Now, I want to tell you that you might not think that was a major problem, but the law of God did not allow the king to go in and burn incense to the Lord. That was work that the priest was to do. And I want you to always remember that the highest calling in the world is not to be president of the United States. The highest calling in the world is not to have some position in political government, but the church is higher than any other organization in the world. And as God calls men to preach the gospel, that office is higher than the office of the United States. And this man who was a king, who served God and feared God and honored God, when God lifted him up, what did he think he then could do? He thought he could go into the temple like the priest did, and he could burn incense to the Lord. And when he began to lift up and burn that incense to the Lord, you know that the rest of this chapter tells us that God smote him with leprosy on his forehead. And when the rest of the priests, when they saw the leprosy in Uzziah, they all drove him out, and he had to live away from the people. And he died away from the people and away from God. Somebody just summarize. What do you think is the moral to that lesson about Uzziah?
Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you.
Okay, that would be the beginning at least. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Seek the Lord and he will be found of you. That's what I believe Isaiah said. James says, as Brother David said, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. All of that is the positive side. But what would be a negative side to that? Besides the fact that when we do that, that's right, God will bless us. As long as we seek the Lord, we will prosper. What's the rest of the story then? Give me something that will go with the rest of that.
The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh.
Okay, good, Brother Kent. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Well, there's a reason the Lord gives, and there's always a reason the Lord takes away. Everybody understand that? There's a reason the Lord gives and there's a reason the Lord takes away.
We think we can stand.
Okay, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And all the other scriptures, I just want you to remember that there are great blessings to the people of God. What does the scripture say about Uzziah? As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But when he was strong, he forsook God, and God brought him down to nothing. God struck him. Listen, that leprosy that Uzziah got was not some freakish thing that happened. The scripture says God struck him with leprosy.
Yeah.
And that was worse than anything we have today. It was worse than cancer. It was worse than anything else you can imagine today. God struck him with leprosy because he stopped seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. As long as you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. As long as you serve the Lord, God will bless your life and you will prosper in the way that the Word of God says that you will prosper. Now, back up in your Bibles just a few minutes to about 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Back up just a few pages in your Bibles. The 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And I want you to see that this is a basic principle. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, "I'm so glad that God will never forsake us"? Have any of you ever heard people say that? God will never forsake you. And listen, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6 says that we can have confidence because God has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Is that a true principle? But to whom is God speaking when He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you"? He's talking to His obedient children when He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But the rest of the Word of God makes it clear that when you forsake Him, what will He do? He will also forsake you. As long as Uzziah sought the Lord, that God made him to prosper. But when Uzziah stopped seeking the Lord, when he stopped serving the Lord, he began to diminish and perish. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. I want you to notice the first four verses. The Word of God says, "And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet" who? Asa. That's the one I keep getting mixed up with Uzziah. "He went out to meet Asa and said unto him, 'Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin.'" Listen carefully now. I want you to memorize this verse of Scripture. "The Lord is with you while ye be with Him." Does everybody hear that? "The Lord is with you while ye be with Him, and if you seek Him, He will be found of you. But if ye forsake Him, He will forsake you." Will God forsake me? If I turn my back on God, is God going to turn His back on me? If you don't believe that He will, you go home and read Proverbs chapter 1, 24 through 28. Because God says in that passage of Scripture, "Because I have called to you and you refused me, I'm going to send pestilence in your lives. I'm going to send a whirlwind, and then you're going to call on me, and I will not hear your prayers." Repeatedly in the Word of God, the Bible says, God says, that God will not hear our prayers. There are many people today that think that no matter how they live, God's always there to jump back on the bandwagon and always be there for them. That is just not true. You can go so far away from God that God will leave you alone in this world. Now it is true, listen carefully, it is true that all of God's children, that nothing can separate them from the love of God. And even though I might lose fellowship with God in this world, and God might bring His judgments on me in this world, I want you to all understand that every one of the redeemed children of God, though they may live in hell while they live here on this earth because they stopped seeking God and stopped serving God, though they may live in hell the rest of their lives, every one of them will be in the eternal heaven. God does not eternally abandon and forsake any of His children.
That's right.
If you're a child of God, you're His child forever. But even though you're His child, you may have to live out there in the hog pen when you leave His house. And you leave your father, you're going to have to stay out there alone until you return unto the Lord.
Yeah.
All of you are familiar with this scripture, but Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 says this. Listen carefully. This is the chapter. If I say Hebrews 11, what did your mind immediately think of? What's it?
Faith.
Hebrews 11 is on faith. All right, now Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, "And without faith, do all men have faith?" Let me just pause here. Do all men have faith?
No.
No. The Scripture says, in the Thessalonian letter, all men have not faith. Where did you get faith? Faith is a part of the fruit of the Spirit of God. There's a faith that comes by hearing that's different than the faith that God implants within you. Faith is a gift from God. God put faith in you when you were born of the Spirit of God. And without that faith that's part of the fruit of the Spirit of God, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Ask you a question. Did Uzziah have faith in the beginning of 2 Chronicles chapter 26? Did Uzziah have faith Did he walk by faith? And did he live by faith in the beginning of the book of Isaiah? Indeed he did. You know what kind of man we need as a president? We need a man of what? A man of faith. A man that's going to trust in the Lord with all of his heart. A man that's going to seek the Lord and a man that's going to serve the Lord. Why do we need a man that's going to be trusting in the Lord? A man of faith. Because, brethren, no child of God will continue serving God. No child of God can withstand the onslaughts of Satan and people without having a strong faith in God. This church, nor any other church, nor any pastor, nor any child of God will keep following what God's Word says unless we're strong in faith.
Yeah.
You have to just hold on to the fact that God is right, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or what anybody else says. God is right.
Amen.
And God's way is right. And God's Word is right.
Yeah.
And that takes faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, listen carefully, and that He, God, that He is a rewarder. What is a rewarder? What is a reward? Our newspaper of the past several weeks has had a picture of a dog in there. $500 reward. The editor's lost his dog. $500 reward for the dog. Every dog Little Wendell sees, he says, I think I could paint that dog to look like it. He saw a little cocker spaniel. I believe I can paint that dog to look like that German police dog. Well, a reward. What is a reward? That's something you get for doing something. Now, there are rewards for disobedience, and there are rewards for obedience. God rewards His people according to their works. When our works please God, He rewards us with what? With blessings. And when our works dishonor God, how does God reward us? He rewards us with chastening. But blessings come as a reward when we're serving the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently... What are the last two words in Hebrews 11? Seek. That diligently... What, Brother Richard?
Seek Him.
Seek Him. That diligently seek Him. Now my question to you tonight from God is this. Are you seeking the Lord? Are you seeking the Lord? Are you really seeking the Lord? If you're seeking the Lord, listen carefully. If you're seeking the Lord and God tells you to do something or not to do something in His holy word and you disobey God, are you seeking the Lord? Everybody understand what I said? If you're really seeking the Lord and God tells you to do something and you don't do it, or God says don't do something and you go ahead and do it, are you really seeking the Lord? No, you're not seeking the Lord. But as long as you seek the Lord, what will happen? God will make you to prosper. Everything you do, God will make you to prosper. You'll rejoice at work. You'll rejoice at home. You'll rejoice in church. You know, in every worship service, did you know that in every worship service, there's some people that sit there and just, they're on the mountaintop. In every worship service, I look out over the congregation. They're singing in the Spirit. They're singing with understanding. They sit there and they hear the Word of God and they just, like little mock, and have you seen little baby mockingbirds, little baby birds in a nest? Three little birds in a nest? The mama bird flies up there. What do all the little baby birds do? They open their mouth. Stretch it out. Stretch out the neck. Just waiting for the mama to give them something. Sometimes the house of God has a lot of little mockingbirds in it. Just sitting there, just feeding on the Word of God. Just hungry for the Word of God. Now, they're fed. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be, what? They shall be filled. Who fills them? God does. Is that prospering when God feeds you from His holy Word? Is it prospering when you come to the house of God and you can say like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Why was David glad to go into the house of God? Because when he went into the house of the Lord, he saw the beauty of the Lord and he felt the presence of God and he was happy to be in the house of God. Everywhere we go, whether we're at home, at work, no matter where we are, no matter what you're doing, you can be prospering in the Lord if you're seeking the Lord as you should.
Amen.
What does Jesus tell us to seek? In the Sermon on the Mount, what did Jesus say to seek? Okay? They said there are some things the Gentiles seek after. There's some things the people in the world seek after, but you're supposed to seek after something different. Seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Give me a definition. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. Kingdom of heaven and kingdom of God are completely different than the eternal heaven. You're going to be in eternal heaven not because you sought eternal heaven. You're going to be in eternal heaven because of what Jesus has done for you. But you will only be in the kingdom of heaven if you seek the Lord with all your heart. May God help us to remember that as long as I seek the Lord, God will make me to prosper, is my prayer for Christ's sake.
Amen.